will now come to order. We'll start with the invocation and then the pledge of allegiance. Lord, we thank thee for all the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. Give us the knowledge to make fair and unbiased decisions in the business coming before us today. Bless our city and the citizens who live and work here. We ask this in our precious name. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. First item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Need a motion, please?
So moved by Coles.
Second, Twinkle.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I guess we'll go down the list again. Tommy Branch. Mr. Branch here. Tom Y. Woody.
Aye.
Linda Southers.
Aye.
Tanya Milton. Tanya Milton. Joseph Welch.
Aye.
Joseph Urban. Karen Jarrett.
Aye.
Lacey Manigo. Not here. Travis Coles.
In favor.
Eula Parker.
Aye.
Wayne Noah.
Aye.
The motion passes. Next item on the agenda is the swearing in of MPC officers by the Honorable Judge James F. Bass, County Chatham County Superior Court.
Well, it's certainly a pleasure to be back before you again. Mr. Cook, it's been a while since we've seen each other. But if you all will stand and raise your right hand, and I will state the oath and at the end just say, I will, so help me God. You do solemnly swear that you hold no position of public trust or private interest which places you in a position of conflict of purpose with the charter of the Metropolitan Planning Commission, and that in accordance with the constitutions of the United States and the state of Georgia, the laws of the state, and all applicable local ordinances, you will faithfully discharge your duties as officers of said commission, deciding each matter that shall come before you on its merits alone, without fear or favor, regard to any affected parties or agencies. If you will, say, I will, so help me God.
I will, so help me God.
Congratulations, you're sworn in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank
you. Item number three, October 13, 2020, Personnel Committee meeting at 3 p.m. this afternoon in the Jerry Cerency Conference Room. Item number four, the November 10th, 2020, regular MPC meeting. The next meeting will be November the 10th, 2020, 1:30 p.m. in the Planning Commission. Go to webinar virtual to accept, to access.
Okay, let's see.
Items requested to be removed from the final agenda. Item number six, zoning map amendment, 135 Hampstead Avenue. Seven.
Motion to approve removal.
If you need a second.
Second, Coles.
Motion been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Roll call vote. Tom Y. Woody.
Aye.
Linda Southers.
Aye.
Tanya Milton, is she not here? Tanya Milton, he's not. Joseph Welch.
Aye.
Karen.
Milton is on the call.
What was that?
I'm on the call.
He's online.
How do you vote?
Yes.
Travis Coles.
In favor.
Eula Parker.
Yes.
Wayne Noah.
Yes.
Motion passes. Item 6, 7, 8, and 9. Was that for all items to be removed from the final agenda?
I will amend my original. This is Wayne Noah. I will amend my original motion to include 6, 7, 8, and 9.
I will still.
Okay. All right. The motion passes. Items on the consent agenda. Number 10, approval of the September 22nd, 2020 briefing and regular meeting minutes.
Move to approve. Karen Jarrett.
Second.
Any discussion? We'll go down the list again. Tom Wywoody.
Hang on a second. Hang with me a minute.
We can do all of them together.
What's that?
We can do all of them together. All of them.
Oh, okay. Items 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 21.
Whoops. No. 14.
Yeah, I put 14 on there. Tom Wywoody.
Aye.
Linda Southers.
Aye.
Tanya Milton.
Yes.
Joseph Welch.
Yes.
Karen Jarrett.
Yes.
Travis Coles.
In favor.
Eula Parker.
Yes.
Wayne Noah.
Yes.
All right. The next item on the agenda is old business. Before we get to that, let me go down the list here and say that the Metropolitan Planning Commission is holding a virtual meeting in an effort to be compliant with local and state regulations regarding social distancing and to maintain the health and safety of all involved in these public hearings. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items which the application is in agreement with the staff recommendation, and there are no known objections. This will be followed by our regular business, old business, and adjournment, which comes next. For each agenda item on the regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be followed by a presentation by the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of 10 to 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you're not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature and you will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. Mr. Lotson, item number 15, rezoning map amendment 716 Highland Drive, rezoned from RSF 10 to O1, OI.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. The item that is before you at this time is a rezoning request for a property at 716 Highland Drive. This was born of a previous petition for both this property and the adjacent property, which was later amended. The petitioner chose to remove the adjacent property from consideration. That original petition was heard during the May 19th meeting. The petitioner requested at that time to continue the hearing and request that 714 Highland Drive, which is that adjacent property, be excluded. And then on June 9th, the Planning Commission considered the proposed rezoning of 716 Highland Drive to change the designation from RSF 10, which is a single family zoning classification, to the OI, or office and institutional classification. The petitioner's intent stated at the time was to renovate the structure at 716 to serve as an office. After the public hearing concluded, a motion was made and passed by the Planning Commission to forward a recommendation of denial to the City Council. The Council on July 23rd held their public hearing, and just to refresh your memory, this is a photograph of the subject property, which is at the corner of Highland Drive and Waters Avenue. At the July 23rd City Council meeting, the petitioner presented additional information that was not presented to the Planning Commission. That information included an option presented by the petitioner to council to limit the use of the property to only an office use, not to all the uses that are permitted within the OI zoning classification. Upon taking testimony from the petitioner and the public and staff, the council instructed the petitioner to provide a legally binding document that would limit the use of the property to an office, or an office, which in our zoning ordinance is defined as an establishment generally providing professional services where tangible products are not produced or sold. With that action, the council then remanded the item back to the Planning Commission for reconsideration with instructions to the petitioner to provide those documents. The petitioner, as you can see, this is their original request to the City of Savannah prior to the council hearing as to this option. And subsequently, an attorney drew up a limited warranty deed that would essentially limit the use of the property to office general as defined in the city zoning ordinance. Petitioner, in addition to that, provided updated civil designs based on the feedback from the City Council as it relates to one of the prevailing issues, which was access, vehicle access on and off of Highland Drive. This property currently has a curb cut along Waters Avenue, which they would be using should this property be rezoned by council. And that is approximately in this location along Waters Avenue. This is Highland Drive. The petitioner is proposing to eliminate access to Highland Drive as well. In review of the zoning petition initially, staff recommended denial. As I mentioned, this other information came out during the council meeting, and the council remanded the petition back for consideration of these documents that they requested. Staff believes that the petitioner has provided the information that's been requested by council, and based on that finding, we're recommending approval of the proposed rezoning.
Any questions for staff? The petitioner here, if so, please state your name for the record. Oh, you have a question?
I have a question.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to ask about the land use, the future land use for this property. What does our comprehensive plan show for this property?
The comprehensive plan shows general residential for this property and the other properties within the Highland Park neighborhood.
All right, thank you.
Is the petitioner present?
He is, yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Benjamin J. Bloomley.
You can make your presentation.
Yeah, absolutely. First, I just want to thank everyone for the time and obviously the reconsideration of our rezoning request. Mr. Lawton kind of went over everything. I guess there's a few other things that may have left out. The current owners have owned this property. In one of our first hearings, one of the council members made a point to the fact of, you know, the limitation of housing, residential housing. And I wanted to make sure everyone knows that once this is rezoned, part of the purchase, you know, outside of the zoning is we are buying the property behind it that is currently vacant. It has tarps. It's an eyesore for the community. And we will turn that. So we're almost taking away one and we're adding a residential property that will be used as a rental house. We feel like we've met with all of the homeowners out there. We feel that we've received the majority approval. We have signed documentation granting their approvals. We want to make sure that we offer a nice safe buffer for the commercial use. So they, you know, the view and the entrance is in no way obstructed or, you know, it's very clean as we would take ownership of it. Outside of that, I mean, that was the biggest thing is I wanted to make sure that the council and the neighborhood behind it knew how serious I am. I'm a local small business owner here in Savannah. Our current operation is just literally right around the corner. So for me, the south side, the growth and the willingness to stay in this location is very strong and it means a lot to myself and our company. And so the fact of adding the deed restriction was something to show not only everyone that is here today, but also the neighborhood that my commitment to this building, my commitment to the renderings and the drawings that we presented, that we've worked on, is what we will move forward with. And we have no intent to do anything else but to maintain that as our real estate office. But outside of that, I do believe Mr. Lawton covered almost everything, where we started and where we're at today. So once again, I do appreciate everyone's time.
Any questions for the petitioner? Hearing no questions, I guess we can look for a motion.
Wayne Noah, I move that we approve per the staff recommendation.
Second.
Is there anybody in the public that wants to talk on this issue? Nobody in the public? All right, Mr. Noah. Been moved by Mr. Noah to approve staff recommendation. Do I hear a second?
Tom Lywoody, second.
Any discussion? We'll go down the list again. Mr. Wildwoody, how do you vote?
Agree.
Ms. Southers?
Yes.
Ms. Milton?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
No.
Mr. Coles?
In favor.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Motion passes. The next item on the agenda is regular business number 16, zoning map amendment 24 Weiner Drive, rezoned from RSF6 to OI-T. Mr. Lawton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. This item is a request to rezone approximately 0.21 acres at 24 Weiner Drive. The property is currently zoned RSF6, which is a single family zoning classification. The petitioner is requesting a rezone to the office institutional transition zoning classification, or OIT, as you mentioned. The property is located here at the northeast corner of Montgomery Crossroad and Weiner Drive. It's developed with a single-family residence built in conjunction with the Skyland Terrace neighborhood that's immediately north of it. There was a recent request, as I mentioned in the pre-meeting, to the BN neighborhood business zoning designation for this property. The petitioner has moved on from that request and is now requesting the office institutional transition designation. This is a tax map showing the location of the subject property along the north side of Montgomery Crossroad. And this is an aerial map of the neighborhood in general. This zoning map does show some of the changes that have occurred over recent years. The two properties across the street on the south side of Montgomery Crossroads have transitioned from residential to office institutional transition as office uses, neighborhood business zoning exists in this location, and neighborhood business and office institutional is somewhat prevalent in this area, as you can see. This is a street view of the subject property from Montgomery Crossroad. And this is another aerial view showing it. There's a corner lot set catty corner on Weiner Drive. Relative to that zoning map that I just showed you, as you can see, there are a number of former residences that have converted over the years to non-residential uses along this corridor. This is on the north side of East Montgomery Crossroad. This property converted to an office as well. I believe it's an attorney. This is a former residence that, for as long as I can really remember, has been a landscape business. And this property is converted to an office also. As you can see, since over the years, since Montgomery Crossroads has widened, which has been probably over 30 years now, there's been pressures on some of the residential structures that abut Montgomery Crossroads relative to maintaining it as a single family residence because of the amount of traffic, particularly and noise, I presume, along Montgomery Crossroads. The requested zoning district by the petitioner, the Office Institutional Transition District, it's defined in the zoning ordinance as, or its intent is to facilitate the orderly transition of properties originally developed for residential use to limited non-residential uses. These properties are located in areas where increased automobile traffic, road widening, or other factors have diminished residential viability, resulting in the need for a transitional area to buffer surrounding residential properties. In staff's review of this petition, we believe that this property falls very neatly into that definition and the intent of this zoning classification. One thing that is important, I think, to mention is that within the OIT zoning, single family detached is still permitted. So it would not be a use that would be eliminated should the property be rezoned. In terms of the non-residential uses that are permitted, they are somewhat limited. They do permit offices, personal service shops, which might be a barbershop or beauty salon, repair-oriented services, general offices, and daycares, as an example. So the non-residential uses that are permitted really stray away from things that are retail-oriented and more service-oriented, which are designed to fit within the context of a neighborhood. Based on our review of this classification and the trend, frankly, along this corridor and others, I think that staff will be addressing in the future, we're recommending approval to rezone the property from RSF6 to OIT. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff?
Karen Jarrett, what is the future land use for this property?
The future land use for this property is neighborhood business. And let me just look, Ms. Jarrett, because I think I'm the title exactly right, but let me just double check. Commercial neighborhood is the actual title of that designation. I think when we were looking at this corridor, it was apparent that there was transition taking place here. There are other structures, or other properties in this corridor that we know are going to be coming before this body for consideration. And the nature of this corridor is, at least on the frontage, is transitioning, you know, to a less residential corridor.
And the OIT designation would fit within the commercial business type?
Yes, in the commercial neighborhood designation, the uses that are permitted within the OIT are compatible with that designation.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions for staff?
This is Yula Parker. Excuse me, was there any opposition from any of the neighbors around?
We did not get any letters or emails related to this proposed rezoning. On the original rezoning, I believe I got one phone call from a person who was interested in knowing what it was about, but not necessarily opposing. And I should say, just looking at this map, the house that's immediate, that's shown on this map immediately across Weiner Drive here, this property is now vacant. So there is not a residence at that location. That house has been demolished some years ago.
Any other questions for staff? Is the petitioner present?
Yes, sir. This is Rob Brannon. You want me to speak, Ellen?
Please.
Yeah, this is Rob Brannon. I'm an attorney with Bowen Falligan. I represent the owner of the property, Linda Solomon. I think Marcus expressed it pretty well that originally we had asked for a BN zone before I was involved. And when I looked at it, I thought that was that zone was too intense for this property. So we resubmitted for the OIT zone, which is exactly the zone that this kind of property was designed for. You know, it's only about 8 feet from the road, so it really has no residential viability at all any longer. And like those properties across the street, you know, one of them is a small insurance office, one's a daycare. These are low impact type uses that allow this property to be used and also protect the people behind it. So I think this is the right zone for it, and I'll be glad to answer any questions we have.
Any questions for Mr. Brannon? Anybody from the public want to speak on the issue? Nobody from the public? Okay, I'll take a motion.
This is Coles. I move that we approve the staff's recommendation for rezoning.
This is Tom Wywoody, second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? We'll take a vote. Mr. Wywoody, how do you vote?
I agree.
Ms. Southers?
Yes.
Ms. Milton? Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
In favor.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
In favor.
The motion passes.
Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it.
Mr. Cook, my vote was yes as well.
Okay, I didn't hear you, but yeah, okay. Thanks. The next item on the agenda is item number 17, rezoning map amendment 3001 Little Neck Road, rezoned from PDRSL-CO and PDRSM-CO to IH. Mr. Lotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item is a request to rezone just shy of 850 acres from a zoning classification known as Plan Development Reclamation Sanitary Landfill and Plan Development Reclamation Surface Mine to the Heavy Industrial Zoning Classification. This property is the Superior Landfill and Recycling Center in West Chatham. It is the municipal solid waste landfill that's operated at this location since 1991. Recently, the property was annexed into the city of Savannah. Prior to being annexed, the Chatham County zoning ordinance applied to this property, and those designations that I outlined for you there the PDRSL and PDRSM are county zoning designations. They permitted the use here, both the landfill and the surface mining operations. I should mention that the sort of variation in that is that the PDRSL permits landfill operations. The surface mining was really the purpose of being able to move dirt essentially to cap the landfill. The subject property is now in the city of Savannah and is governed by the Savannah Zoning Ordinance, which does not have the PDRSL or PDRSM zoning classifications within that ordinance. So the applicant has applied for a designation that permits the uses on site. And this is the only zoning district in the city ordinance that permits a sanitary landfill now that the property's been annexed into the city. Staff views this as primarily an administrative action. Although the heavy industrial zoning classification is obviously an intense zoning classification, it is the only district that permits the use of a landfill in the city of Savannah. And I should mention that oftentimes when we look at a rezoning in a matter like this, you consider all the uses that might be applicable in that zoning district. With a landfill, things are quite different because landfills are required to have reclamation plans. So it's not as if this property gets rezoned to IH, that another IH use could be established here in the future. And I'll let the applicant speak to that a bit, but the applicant has requested the rezoning. They've also provided staff with an updated general development plan. And I should mention, as was brought up in the pre-meeting, there is a adjacent piece of property that this body reviewed and approved or recommended for approval of rezoning immediately south of the outline property here that was added to the landfill for the purpose of being able to mine their fill dirt on site versus bringing it off site. So we're recommending approval of the proposed rezoning. I should also bring to the table, Mr. Chairman, there's been outreach by a community organization in West Chatham, which I believe they're probably on the line today. I will share with you before I go into any questions, some of their concerns, but I'll really let them address that today. They did attach or they did provide us a petition that was signed by approximately 100 residents. And this is the petition here. I'm going to make this a little larger for those who might be watching, following online, to be able to read what they've said. And they'll be able to speak to this a little bit better today. But I think some of the issues that they raise are issues not necessarily related to the requested rezoning, but other issues that are not uncommon with the use as you're considering here today.
How does staff approve or?
We recommend an approval of the rezoning to the IH designation for the city of Savannah.
Any questions for staff? Is the petitioner present? If so, step forward and state your name, please. Is the petitioner present?
It's getting on.
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, sir. Harold Yellen on behalf of Waste Management of Georgia.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. With me today, at least hopefully with me today on the line, Russ Hightower, who also with Waste Management of Georgia, he is the manager of governmental affairs, and Gary Alberg, who is the area engineer and specifically the engineer for the Superior Landfill on Little Neck Road. As Mr. Lotson has shared with you, the petition before you today is say from the Chatham County zoning ordinance that permits a landfill to the city of Savannah zoning ordinance that permits a landfill. There appears to be a lot of misinformation about this petition, especially on social media. So we would like to take just a brief moment to tell you what we are and what we are not. And let me start by telling you what we are not. We are not an expansion of our existing landfill. We have an approved footprint for our landfill and for our surface mining operations. And there is nothing about this zoning petition which will expand these defined areas. We are also not changing our operation of the site as a land. We only have one business. We do one thing at the site. It's the same business that we've operated for over 30 years. There is nothing about this zoning petition that will change the use at this site. And we have also submitted a general development plan along with our zoning petition that delineates our footprint and it confirms our use as well. And what we are is very simply, it's just a petition that's moving us from county ordinance to the city ordinance. And in fact, as Mr. Lotson mentioned a moment ago, we are moving to the only zoning district in NUZO that allows a landfill. There is no other city of Savannah. The reason, and I believe this question was raised at the pre-meeting, the reason that we have filed this petition is because this site was annexed into the city of Savannah on November the 1st, 2019. Both Waste Management and the city of Savannah recognized that Waste Management was transporting leachate from the landfill site to the city's wastewater treatment facility on President Street. And this transportation was 15 miles from landfill to the facility. If you took US 17, it was 17 miles via I-16, and it was 21 miles via the Truman Parkway. I think most of you know leachate generated from liquids present in waste, and it has to be carefully managed and removed pursuant to Subtitle D of the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act. And it's governed to ensure that it is treated and rendered safe for the environment. The city of Savannah literally has a sewer line located at our front door. And they were willing to accept our leachate if we annexed into the city. So Waste Management, at its sole cost and expense, built a pump station. It installed a force main, and it built a pretreatment facility, again, at its sole cost and expense, to pretreat the leachate before it's disposed into the city's sewer line. And as part of this annexation, Waste Management and the city of Savannah agreed that they would work collaboratively to create a new ordinance that would permit the continued operation of the landfill. And that city ordinance is the city's IH zoning district. It was created under NUZO. And by law, and by Georgia law, a rezoning into the annexed city must wait 1 year for the rezoning. And we are now 1 year post-annexation. So we hope we've at least set the record straight. We have spoken to Ms. Bootwell with the West Chatham County Community Watch. We spoke to her for about an hour last week. Presumably by the petitions, it doesn't matter what we say. Apparently landfills are by their very nature a lightning rod for conversation, but we tried to assure her that there would be no changes, but apparently she still wishes to be involved in this. We also spoke to Ms. Dorothy Silly at the president of Henderson Property Owners Association, and we've tried to maintain that outreach with our neighbors in the past and going forward. We explained to both, as I hope we have today, that we were a landfill in the county, and we're going to continue to be a landfill in the city. We're going to be the same landfill operation that's been there for 30 years. And the only difference is that the landfill will now be in the city and governed by the city's zoning ordinance recommendation for approval. And we agree with its finding that the rezoning is consistent with the city's future land use map. Mr. Chairman, thank you. We'll be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Any questions for Mr. Yellen?
Karen Jarrett here. Mr. Yellen, I understand the reasons for having to rezone. It sounds like there's just not enough communication between your client and the neighborhood. Is it possible to open up a dialogue with them to see what you could do to resolve some of the issues that they mentioned in their petition? It really is irrelevant to what we're doing here today, but it sounds like they're struggling.
Ma'am, we will meet as often as the neighborhood would like, but I will tell you that based on my, I was on the call along with Mr. Hightower. I'm not sure that there's anything that we can say or do to make everybody happy. We are a landfill. We've been there at least 30 years. We actually predate most of the people who've signed the petition. But I pledge to you, we will continue our conversation. I will continue, and we will continue our dialogue with the neighborhood. But I'm not sure that I can't promise a resolution, but I promise you a discussion.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Any other questions for Ms. Yellen? I have two individuals who'd like to speak on this issue. If you can limit your talk to 5 minutes or less. First is Ms. Amanda Wilson. Please identify yourself for the record.
I would prefer to speak after our chair of our community leader, Ms. Anita, if that's okay.
Sure. Who did you say you wanted to speak first? Ms. Who? Ms. Veltwell, please identify yourself for the record. You have 5 minutes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I just show that I'm muted. Sir, I don't know that I can say what I need to say in 5 minutes. I'm speaking for the community as a whole. The petitions are 200. I apologize, I wasn't able to get in all the petition sheets, but they are sent in to the commission. First, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to speak here today. And as Amanda said, my name's Anita Batwell, and I'm the committee chair for the West Chatham County Community Watch. And I'd like to speak my whole argument, if you would allow me to, considering that this meeting has gone rather fast today, because I think this is very important for the citizens, the many, many, many citizens that live in this community. And I think what we have to say is very important to us. And I don't believe at all that it is irrelevant. The people of West Chatham County are not irrelevant. And I really take offense to that, because our concerns are human concerns, and no human concerns should ever be considered irrelevant. I did speak with Mr. Yelling last week, and I speak about that within my argument, but I would like permission to read my argument in full, please.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, sir. And due to today, I'll cut it short because you do have a copy of it. I did send y'all in a copy of my argument, and that wasn't the best thing for me because Mr. Yeldon and everybody else got to read it. But I sent it in because we are on the Wi-Fi signal out here, and we have very poor signal. So I wanted you to at least have that. The West Chatham County Community Watch represents the citizens of all municipalities within the West Chatham County area, not just those residing or doing business on West Chatham County zoned property. This would include citizens of Bloomingdale, Hoover, and Savannah zoned districts, as well as Chatham County. Our fight is always for the betterment of lives and the right to quality livelihoods of all citizens of West Chatham County, Georgia. It is our intentions here today to do just that for those, just for those reasons. First, the citizens of West Chatham County would like it to be well known to the public and all interested parties of this case that we stand in unity, strongly opposing the rezoning of any part of Waste Management's property to any zoning district other than what the property is currently zoned. And especially we oppose rezoning to heavy industrial. In just the short time we have had to inform the public of this requested rezoning, we've collected in person 220 signatures. More, I might add, are still waiting to be collected that we did not have time to pick up and send in. These signatures of citizens opposing this rezoning. We enter these signatures into the record as a People's Exhibit B. Unfortunately, proper time was not been available to fully inform all citizens who will be impacted by this rezoning. Therefore, we ask the commission to consider this number opposing signatures as merely a small visual of the much larger opposition that we'd undoubtedly see if given that opportunity. Not only do the people of West Chatham County oppose this rezoning, but the top officials of Chatham County do it as well. The Chatham County Board of Commissioners are, at present, considering a resolution showing their opposition to the waste management property being rezoned to heavy industrial. The video of the Chatham County Commission meeting this past Friday, October the 9th, beginning at minute marker 148:45, documents their discussion on this matter. Commissioner Dean Goodwater of the 7th District, a solid supporter of the people, brought the matter to the commission's attention. Chairman Scott made the point of the commission's ability to adopt a resolution in opposition of this rezoning, as well as investigating that the matter be put on the agenda of the next county commission's meeting. In all actuality, there is no reason to rezone this property for the waste management to continue to do business, as they told me personally on October 7th phone conversation, which was to do the same business in the future as they have done in the past. We will show that here. The people will also show that a specific section 8.5.9 of the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance was newly created specifically for the business of waste management. Created specifically for the benefit of the business of waste management, and without regard as well to the City of Savannah's past action on zoning in regards to landfills within the city limits. In order to show the increased adverse effects that will come from rezoning waste management's property to heavy industrial, we must first show how waste management's current operation affects today's area population, as well as the population that is well on its way to Chatham County. Therefore, the people will further show the thousands of citizens from all parts of Chatham County now living, working, and doing business in the immediate area, whom have and have been for the past 30 years, had the quality of their lives and livelihoods diminished by waste management's present and past operations. We'll show the explosion of residential homes and businesses planned and expected for the West Chatham County area, which in fact is all within the annexed city limits of Savannah. We'll show this explosion will add tens of thousands of citizens who will not only inherit the same adverse effects as area citizens today are forced to endure, but also the to be well expected ill effects of waste management's operation in the future. We'll show how waste management's present day operations, combined with its enormous residential growth, will flood West Chatham County with traffic problems, increased potential for deadly accidents and road damage. We'll show how allowing waste management property to be rezoned heavy industrial will not only add to the duress of thousands and thousands of current area citizens and the tens of thousands of citizens moving into the area, but how it will also increase the longevity by possibly a decade or more for these citizens to endure such life-altering conditions on a daily basis. At this time, I'd like the commission to recognize the following documents, and for time constraint purposes, I'm not going to mention them. You have the copy in front of you, and I will mention them as I go through. Is that okay with you, sir?
It seems Hello? To me that you're asking is for the operation to be shut down. Is that what you're asking?
Sir. No, sir. Not at this point. No, sir. No, sir. We just do not want heavy industry.
Well, all that's happened is this property has been annexed into the city of Savannah, and the zoning for the county has to be compliant with the city zoning. And so all this is just changing the zoning, but it doesn't change any of the operation at all.
And sir, I respect your opinion on that, but I respect Mr. Yeldon and Mr. Hightower's remarks the other day on the phone with me. But plans change, opportunities come about, and we are not, we don't know today what will come about tomorrow. So therefore, we can't make guaranteed promises that we're not going to move forward when a good opportunity comes along, just as they did take the opportunity of when the city of Savannah offered them the sewage and water. They jumped on that opportunity. All good business will do that. And we know that. It's just common sense. So a business that is zoned heavy industrial, if they have the opportunity later on to become something bigger, better, that makes more money, it just makes sense. If they have the opportunity and means, they're going to jump on that. I mean, it wouldn't make sense a good business not to do that. I mean, anybody would do that. And that's what we know. That's what we know. As far as being reason, I'm sorry. I would like to say this point, sir, if you don't mind. As far as having to be rezoned, the city of Savannah's newly rezoned in the front page of the NUZO, it clearly states that if a property owner is annexed into the city of Savannah from Chatham County, they have the option. They can keep the Chatham County zoning and just apply the CO to it, because the city of Savannah adopted entirely the ordinance code of the Chatham County. And so therefore, they can stay where they're at under the same code listing and do business as usual. And I do disagree with Mr. Yielding. As far as no expansion, it is clear on his general development plan that they all have proposed expansions. And it is clear in the sewage and water agreement with the city that they have they amended and they created an ordinance that would also allow for waste management to raise the heights. That was part of the conditions to zone them into the city of Savannah and to do the zoning. And they worked hand in hand to do that, so all that could be accomplished. So I do disagree with Mr. Yielding. And I mean, that's just business to expand, you know, but the people of this community just do not want any more of this. We've had to live with this, and we have had so many broken promises for the past 30 years. If you come out to our place, you would not be able to sit outside someday, sir. I mean,
okay. All right. I would like, your time is like, up.
Well, you told me I could finish, and then you interrupted me, so I had to ad lib. And now, because I'm outside to get internet service, then someone next door is breaking my concentration. I do want to speak to the maps that show that 10,000 homes that is coming to this New Hampstead community 10,000 homes. This is absolute truth, proof that this place is fixing to explode with residential and business opportunities for the community. It's going to have this huge park right in the middle of it, where I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the city of Savannah donated money to get part of that conservation land to all give right. to these
Thanks people. So much. Thanks so much. We'll now hear from Ms. Wilson, Amanda Wilson. Identify yourself for the record, please.
Hi, my name is Amanda Wilson. And I would just like to say that, first off, I understand the concerns about COVID, but I really would like for y'all to be able to consider an in-person meeting done about this. There are so many concerns from so many different citizens, and an in-person meeting can be done safely, I feel like, and just only being allowed to speak for 2 or 3 minutes on this matter. And Miss Anita is representing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that I don't feel like y'all that are being represented by an online meeting, because it's just, some people just don't feel comfortable navigating an online meeting. And I would really like for an in-person meeting to be considered. That's the first thing that I would like to say. The second thing I would like to say is in regard to this landfill, and all due respect to the city and the county and the landfill, but this landfill has been mismanaged and poorly run for decades. And I'm sure that the city and county are very aware of this because of all the complaints that they have. The EPA is very aware of this because of all the complaints that they have. And for them to be allowed.
That's not the issue that's before us today. The only issue is the zoning change to comply.
Yeah, I am completely aware of that. What I'm saying, if you would let me finish my point, please, what I was saying is for them to be allowed to have more leeway into what they're doing by granting them a rezoning into heavy industrial, they are going to mismanage and run that poorly. They were annexed into the city and they were allowed this property for mining purposes. I spoke with Mr. Kicklider about this, and I had concerns about them being allowed to have this piece of property. And what they said specifically, and they promised that it was only for mining the dirt to cover up the landfill.
That is completely irrelevant to what we're talking about. I mean, I understand that you're opposed to them and you'd like to shut the facility down, but we're not here to talk about those things. All we're here to talk about is the rezoning. The next speaker, Mr. Thomas Taylor.
If I can, before he speaks, this is Melanie Wilson, the executive director for the MPC. Ms. Batwell, I responded to your email when you asked with regards to how this meeting would be conducted. And in that response, I let you know that the public could come and meet with us in person. So you do, anybody listening to this meeting, have the option. We are set up to try to accommodate you if you needed and had a desire to come to the meeting. So I want to make sure that we're clear about that, because that's the case. The other thing that I really want to be clear about, and I understand the concerns for the people that live out in that area. I was at the meeting that was held last year regarding the county and landfill. I want to be really, really clear. The only thing that MPC is asked to do, this is MPC, we are making a recommendation. The final decision will be made by the City of Savannah Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen. MPC is making a recommendation, and the only thing that we are looking at is whether there is a zoning category within the current ordinance that fits the uses that are currently happening on the property. That's it. That is it. Nothing about operations, nothing along those lines. We're not here to debate whether you're right or whether you're wrong. We have no opinion on that. We are here only to look at the land use, and some of the concerns that you've expressed really should be expressed to the elected officials with and at the public meeting that they will have at the city of Savannah. You will have the option to speak with them, to express your concerns as well. So I really want to be very, 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 very clear with regards to what we're asked to do and what our charge is with regarding this landfill and this request. And so Ms. Botwell, you've got my email. Anybody else that would like to talk to me further about this, I'll be glad to do so. But I just want to make sure that we're staying focused on what it is that's within our purview to do. Thank you.
I have two more speakers here, and the only thing we're talking about is the rezoning. We're not talking about the operation, shutting it down, or how bad it is, or how good it is, or whatever. The only thing we're talking about here is moving this rezoning to a rezoning that fits the city's ordinance. And so I'll let Mr. Thomas Taylor speak next, followed by Glenn Shealy. Mr. Taylor. Is Mr. Taylor there?
Okay.
Glenn Shealy?
Yes, this is Glenn Shealy. I live at 320 Brown Thrust in Henderson. I understand the reasoning behind the zoning request. And I guess it really is at this point something that's just going to go forward to the alderman. So I'll hold my comments when that meeting is held. Thank you.
Okay. Would Mr. Yellen like to? Oh, we got one more. Okay. Followed by Mr. Yellen for rebuttal. Kearney Beaver. Kearney Beaver. Would you like to speak, Mr. Beaver? Or Carrie Beaver, excuse me. Carrie Beaver. Carrie Beaver present. Nobody there? Ms. Beaver, you need to unmute yourself. These are very difficult to do. She's gone. Mr. Yellen, would you like to make a rebuttal statement?
Yes, sir. Just very, very briefly. I want Mrs. an organization to know that I understand her concerns. That there used to be a county ordinance with its own set of letters, but during the NUZO process, the city had as its stated goal to reduce, not to increase, the number of zoning districts. And the city chose, elected to use the IH, which is the most intensive industrial district in its ordinance, with the additional requirement that we submit a general development plan so that it was similar to what was formerly the site plan specific zoning. And that's why after Russ Hightower and I spoke to Ms. Boutwell last week, I sent her an email and I saw that Mr. Lotson made it a part of the record. And I said to her, I'm attaching a copy of the general development plan. I told her in writing, we can only operate as a landfill facility as shown on the GDP, and we cannot operate any other use permitted in the heavy industrial except as shown on the GDP. This whole thing began, the whole annexation began during the period of time when the city was actually approving its NUZO. And the city of Savannah made it very clear to waste management. The city wants to enforce its own city's zoning ordinance. They do not want to enforce Chatham County's zoning ordinance. And they made it abundantly clear that we were supposed to come back for the rezoning into the city's zoning district. And then I'd just like to make one final comment, and I'm not sure that I Atwell began by saying maybe we called her or her group irrelevant, and I do not think I said that. If I did, I would like to apologize. I don't think I did say that, but since that was the first thing that she said coming out of the gate, she must have heard something. And if I said anything even remotely like that, please let me finish by making an apology to Ms. Boatwell. So that's all I have, Mr. Chairman. We would respect approval of staff recommendation.
I had one more speaker that I've got a card for. It's Donald Wilson. Would you like to speak, sir? If so, please state your name for the record. Donald Wilson.
Hey, I was actually going to ask about the zoning that I believe he just answered, because the question that I had was if the law allows for the property to stay zoned under the county zone, why does it need to be changed? But he just answered that, so I'm fine with that answer.
Thank you, sir. I believe we're at the point where we're going to ask for a motion. The staff recommendation is to approve the rezoning.
Karen Jarrett moves to approve staff recommendation.
Second, Joe Welch.
Any discussion? We'll vote. Mr. Wywoody, how do you vote?
Aye.
Ms. Southers?
Aye.
Ms. Milton?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
In favor.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. We will now have after adjournment, we'll have the personnel committee meeting in the Jerry Cerency conference room. Is there any other business to come before this body?
Mr. Chairman, we do have one other item.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Cook.
The 2021 update of the Chatham County Savannah Comprehensive Plan. I apologize.
That's okay.
I was Mr. Cook.
Yes.
Are you doing that meeting in person, the personnel meeting?
Yes.
Okay, I'll be there in just a few minutes.
All right. Ms. Jackson.
Good afternoon. I promise I will talk fast. Okay. I promise I will do my best. Thank you for having me. Again, it's been a while, but I'm Jackie Jackson, back at the MPC. Yay. So I wanted to give you a quick update.
Hey, Christy.
Am I okay? Okay. About our comprehensive plan update process that we are kicking off officially as of today. So this hearing will actually be, as I mentioned, the technical kickoff for the update to the Chatham County Savannah Comprehensive Plan. And what you see here on your screen, hopefully the first slide really encompasses what we're trying to get across. The Plan 2040 is our branded logo, and there is a set of 9 colors within that logo. And what we're trying to represent are the 9 jurisdictions within Chatham County. So we're really hoping to get to that place where we've been in the past, where we're really looking collectively across the county and the region for planning as a whole, instead of in silos, as we've kind of been doing for a little bit lately. So with that being said, as you can see, we've got some new players at the table. We've got Garden City that we're working on their comprehensive plan update, as well as the City of Pooler. So in addition, again, City of Savannah and unincorporated Chatham County. So 4 of our larger jurisdictions, which is really going to be great for overall planning for our region. So quickly, what is a comp plan for those who may not remember the last process that we were involved with or formally understand necessarily for the general public what a comprehensive plan is? It really is a long-range guide. It is meant to guide the local communities for their future development, honestly. And specifically with the comp plan, we look at different areas with regards to transportation and land use, zoning, historic resources, and a lot of good stuff falls into play with comprehensive planning. And I'll go into that a little bit in a second. But overall, it is meant to be our vision for the future. Specifically, Plan 2040 is going out, as you can tell, hopefully, to the year 2040. However, this is a smaller update. This is getting us from our last update. In 2016. So a comprehensive plan isn't necessarily just the way we should be planning moving forward, but it is also a state requirement. It is mandated under the Georgia Department of Community Affairs. And under that state requirement, each local community must formally prepare, adopt, and maintain a comprehensive plan. But what is really crucial with this process is that it has to be a community process. You have to have public involvement in this process for feedback and input. And with that, it allows, once it's adopted, that community then is given a, once everything is approved, a qualified local government status. And why that is important to local communities is because then they are able to tap into dollars and funding. You have to have, as a local community, that QLG status to tap into CDBG funds, if you're familiar with that, any water and sewer loans, coastal incentive grants, larger GFA funds. So there's a lot at stake here, which is, again, why it's a state requirement that these local communities really look at planning across the board. And to kind of give you just a general idea of the hierarchy and why it's important, as we go through this process over the next number of months, we'll meet with different committees and different stakeholders and players throughout the communities and get their input. And from that, we're going to come up with specific goals, objectives, and strategies on how to basically answer those questions and be able to check those, whether it's projects or in I guess, approaches or plans or even meetings or whatnot it might be, check those things off the list. The local community can come back to this, what we call a short-term work program, and say, yes, we accomplished this. We had this discussion, or we have this group in place, et cetera, and then start checking things off the list. So as you're, I'm sure, aware of, the MPC has been at the table with regards to comp planning for a very long time. We actually started this process back in the 1980s, and originally it was under one umbrella comprehensive plan, and you had all the jurisdictions fall underneath that one umbrella. Well, it split apart for a little while, but now we've gotten all our players back to the table, and we're working once again to look at a more of a regional approach to planning, which is so important. So our last major update was done in 2006 with minor updates in 2012 and 2016. And again, this next update is considered that minor update as required by the state as well. And as I mentioned, you'll see we've also tapped into Pooler and Garden City. So we have specific staff working on individual jurisdictions and their specific deliverables and goals and strategies as well. I did put a note in here just for those who are following along with other plans and objectives that are out there. We are trying very hard to look at other major plans when you're talking about economic development and land use and growth. Talking to CEDA, the Economic Development Authority, City of Savannah with their Vision Savannah plan, the county with Blueprint, Gulfstream, Georgia Port Authority, all these big players, school board, because we want to get a comprehensive approach as to what's happening over the next number of years with our community. So it's important to know that we're tracking those plans and processes as well. What you can see here in this chart is there are a number of elements that are required to be discussed in plans. And we are really hitting a lot of those boxes by requirement. And however, the MPC is going a little bit beyond that because we have such a special city and a special community as a whole. There's a number of resources and elements that we're going to be expanding into as we've done in the past, and we're going to continue that. And those include everything that you see here. We've got elements, as I mentioned, including economic development, transportation, land use, of course, zoning will be discussed, housing. And then we're stepping into that quality of life arena, if you will. This is not required by the state, but again, we feel it's so important for Chatham County as a whole to discuss these topics such as natural resources, historic resources. We are also, we'll be updating on community health, education, public safety, and for the first time ever, we're including broadband. And that is a requirement of the state, but what that really gets at is that discussion of the digital divide, Wi-Fi access, broadband for the entire community. And this really becomes important and has become really highlighted right now with COVID. We have started to see those communities and neighborhoods and individual homes that don't have access to Wi-Fi. And what do we need now more than anything? And that's that access to the internet, honestly. So this is going to be very important. For the first time, we're going to highlight that and have some maps kind of showing those areas that do and don't have Wi-Fi access. So this will be a pretty interesting one for sure. And then I've included a timeline that we're constantly changing and updating, if you will. And it shows this is a pretty aggressive process. This update, we started, as you know, today, but we technically started a little bit before this. But it's a year-long process to do a comprehensive plan update. There's a lot that's involved, of course. And the official deadline is October 31st. of next year, so again, 1 year. But the first 6 to 8 months that we'll be coming back to you over a number of times, actually meeting with you and getting input and feedback on those goals and strategies. But that last 4 months or so is a lot of, unfortunately, I will say, somewhat of a repetitive process because there's a lot of back and forth with the state where we have to submit different versions and that kind of thing. So you'll be seeing me probably more than you want to over the next year. But that's an important part of this process. That, again, allows for more public comment and more input, as well as committees and stakeholders such as yourselves to give comments on this as well. So the question, what's coming soon? The next big thing that you will see, actually, hopefully by the end of this week, will be a public survey. And within that public survey, you're going to see all the topics that we talk about in the comp plan. And we're going to be asking a set of questions. It will take about 15 minutes or so to take the survey because it's such an important part of this plan, especially, again, right now when everything is virtual and you're using your computer for, you know, everything all day. It seems like we need to get this out as much as possible to the community virtually. So with that, we are expanding on our social media output, working with avenues that way to get the message out there. You will be able to access all of this information on a dedicated website, as you can see here, mpc.compplan2040.org. We have a dedicated email address where you can email staff and we'll be there answering questions or, you know, addressing comments, taking comments, that kind of thing. We also have a dedicated phone line where you can just call in and leave messages, ask for hard copies of this survey, which we will be mailing out as well. We're trying to basically get the point across that we are here however you need us to give input or to ask questions. And these are examples I've shown you here of community engagement posts and social media posts. As you can see on the left, each community will have its own brand based off of that color within the main Plan 2040 logo. So Pooler is blue, Garden City is green. And then again, some example posts that we'll be sending out as well about the comp plan process. So just a reminder, again, next steps, start looking for us to send out a survey. Again, we'd like to send it out specifically to the board this week so you could take a test run and see how you think The questions will, you know, lead us down that path, hopefully to getting some good information. And then we ask you, of course, to stay involved with us, you know, help us be community champions to get involvement on the future of Chatham County as a whole for the next number of years. That's it. I told you I'd be quick. I tried. I talked a lot, though. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you, Jackie.
But I will take any questions or comments that you might have with regards to the process.
Any questions?
Again, you will see me again.
So no worries there.
Karen Jarrett here. If you don't mind, I'm kind of curious about the inclusion of Garden City and Pooler. I don't know if I'm getting feedback, but were they in the last one, and will they be in the overall comprehensive plan, or are you doing a separate little comprehensive plan for them?
So they will each, Plan 2040 is again that branding for the entire county. At this stage right now, they will have their own comprehensive plans, but you will be able to access them on the MPC website. You'll be able to access their plans, et cetera. It will have the same look as all of the other plans, with the intent as we continue to grow through this process over the years, we will ultimately again have one plan. If that makes sense. But I think we all agree that because of the data, the communities are so very different, that they really, it was the best fit to have a dedicated plan for that community, but yet under that umbrella again of Plan 2040.
Okay. Thank you.
One question.
Yes.
Have the other communities been contacted, like Thunderbolt and?
Yes, they have. And I think this conversation will continue to grow. It was just the timeline when everything kind of fell into play with budget and whatnot. They had already been sourced to other consultants or internal workings for this, for their update.
Tybee Island, Thunderbolt.
And Port Wentworth. And that Bloomingdale. That's right. They had already contracted with other groups on smaller scales. Right. So, and again, this is an update. So it is a smaller version, which enables them to, you know, do smaller updates. But I think with that next, to your point, with that next large update, which will be in the next cycle, hopefully we'll have everybody to the table by then. That will be 5 years after this. So 2025. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Any other questions? Okay, after adjournment, we'll meet in the Jerry Cerency room for a personnel committee meeting. Ms. Wilson.
Two things. One, I want to also highlight that one of the other things that we will be talking about in the comp plan is resiliency. Every element will have a component that addresses resiliency and sustainability. In addition to that, I wanted to just let you all know that October is National Community Planning Month, and the theme this year for that is planning is essential to recovery. And that is important because it highlights how planners can help lead communities to equitable, resilient, and long-lasting recovery from the efforts of COVID-19. The theme also reminds us of what the future, how important the future is with regards to us preparing for uncertainty and help us as we navigate the potential for disruptive change. So again, I wanted to also let you know that each element of the update will include resiliency and sustainability. And I also did reach out, I've been talking with all the jurisdictions, I think since I walked in the door, about partnering with us on documents. So I was really happy that we were able to get Garden City and Pooler to work with us on this endeavor. I think that it's gonna have us, we'll end up with a better document, and look forward to working with all of the jurisdictions as we continue to update all of our documents. So thanks.
Thank you. Need a motion to adjourn. Make a motion to adjourn the meeting. We're adjourned.